This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hit Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello and welcome to our listeners now on WAAF, Boston's legendary rock station. Also our friends at 97.9 CPR Rockstown in Biloxi, Mississippi, and our friends at Rock 105, Chattanooga's rock station. Big show for you today. Random question is back. Your guess is as good as mine. The categories today will be things that get more difficult with age and the way you are most likely to die. We will review some Men's Room rules, profile this coming up, and we'll drink and toast with a shot of the day. In the meantime, it is our random question, 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Ben. Random, welcome random, to the Men's Room.
Random.
Hola! Ben, welcome to the program.
Guys?
We're doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm on a conference call on the other line that I really didn't want to listen to.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Everyone seems so important when they have to jump in and give their two cents and act like they know what's going on and then ask a dumb question. I hate that. Are there any questions? And then it goes on for like 10 more minutes. Like, shut up! Who is this guy? What office is he in? Is he a freaking idiot?
You're describing my life.
Jesus Christ.
I swear to God, last time I was on a conference call, it was for a client, all right? So this conference call is national, and they are doing a national radio ad, and there had to be 15 different jocks on from around the country, just different stations, right? So I will not say who this company is, but I do not enjoy working with them. And I expressed this very openly over the conference call. I said, look, man, this is effing ridiculous. We don't need to sit through this crap. You do it every time. I hate working with you guys. Blah, blah, freaking blah. And everyone else is being quiet. So now there's this awkward pause. And this woman pops on, and she's the one conducting the conference call. And she says, did you used to work in Baltimore? I said, yeah, I did. She's like, you told me the same thing then 13 years ago. I'm like, it hasn't changed.
The bizarre thing, though.
I hate you.
The bizarre thing, though, about being on a radio conference call when this stuff happens is just the context of how business is done. So at the end of this, we'll say, like, okay, the campaign's for 6 weeks. You're going to promote this company.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Is there any questions? And then you'll hear, like, yeah, I got a question. This is Booger from 105.7.
Yeah.
See, but at least those make sense. Mine started with, make sure to pay your employees for the time that's on their timesheet.
Oh, okay. Boogman wants to know if he can talk in the third person on these commercials, because Booger don't speak in the first person.
These are questions that have to be addressed.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, thanks, Booger, for your inquiry.
I've been doing afternoons for 45 years.
The Boogman, don't say I
oh,
or
yeah.
me.
Right here in Columbus, Ohio, people know the Booger.
All right, let's go with this question here. What would you say in your lifetime is the most pain that you've ever been in?
That would probably have to be when I dislocated my pinky. It was in ninth grade. We were playing Capture the Flag. And you know those little, like, irrigation holes that are in the field that, you know, pop up every now and then? It looks like somebody just stabbed it with a fork all over the place.
Sure.
Well, I was juking somebody, and I slipped, and my finger went into one of those holes, and it twisted, popped every single joint on the right side of my right hand out of socket. My pinky was twisted and in the shape of a Z.
Jeez!
And nothing broke. It was all just dislocated and extended and terrible.
Sure. That's the only time I've ever seen a compound fracture before was, I was probably in fourth or fifth grade. It just seems like the most gruesome injuries that I've ever seen in my childhood were always at school at the playground.
Sure.
Just somebody messing up and you know.
Because you can always find danger at the playground.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know why that is, but it's almost like they're designed to kill your kids. And they have like these kind of soft padded things now and all that, but it, there's nothing you can, look, kids are clumsy, they're going to be clumsy, they think they can do everything, they can do like two things. The disaster still happened.
Didn't you tell me, like, was it you that told me, like, when you were living somewhere, maybe it was Colorado or whatever, but if you had a sandbox?
Yeah, it was in Denver, Colorado, and this is back in the 70s, but they just built these houses, and therefore the new elementary school was brand new. And they're building this in the middle of a prairie, a little bit outside of Denver. And all the kids used to walk to school, so when you got there, the recess lady, Miss Seth, I still remember her name, we would all line up by the bike racks, and we'd have to wait. And we would wait because where the sandbox was, they had the snake handlers out there, and they would dredge their poles through to grab all the rattlesnakes out of the sandbox because they go there to stay warm overnight, and we get there, what, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. And it was always the same thing. They'd say, well, we think we got them all. And off they went. And once she snapped her fingers, man, we went and played in the snake-infested sandbox.
The reason we asked what is the most pain you've ever been in, a bizarre at-home remedy for back pain has landed a 33-year-old unidentified patient in the Irish Medical Journal after doctors discovered he was injecting his own semen into his forearm. According to the case, the man had presented with severe lower back pain and said that he had lifted a heavy object recently. Well, during that examination, they noticed that his right arm was red and there was a lump on it. So the patient then disclosed he had intravenously injected his own semen as an innovative method to treat back pain.
And no. Innovate. Just because no one else has done it doesn't mean it's innovation. It might mean that you're considerably dumber than everyone else you know.
He had devised this cure independent of any medical advice.
Yes, we know this.
Upon further interrogation of his alternative therapy, he revealed he had injected one monthly dose of semen for 18 consecutive months using a hypodermic needle, which he had purchased online. The x-ray revealed he had a bunch of gas and air trapped below the skin.
Yeah.
It was discovered that the patient had failed multiple times to inject the bodily fluid, which resulted in extravasation of semen into the soft tissue. They said it's believed to be the first time a patient attempted to inject himself with semen in hopes of curing a condition. They say, basically, don't do that.
Yeah. Thanks for the heads up, bro.
I like that this guy thinks that he's being innovative, but under what circumstance would you think that's a good idea? And then also, I'll even forgive you for thinking that that stupid idea is a good idea. Wouldn't you rather inject something then where the pain is? Like you say, hey, man, my back hurts, so I'm going to inject sperm in my arm?
I mean, just
from the top to the bottom, like, you know you're stupid, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have a legitimate friend in your life because any one of your friends would have said, hey, man, that's dumb.
Go where the pain is.
I mean, I'm not talking about injecting your back, random, but I mean, my God, if my foot hurt, I wouldn't be doing something to my shoulder.
Sometimes, though,
pressure points.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay. Look, you shouldn't be injecting anything. I will say that. There's sometimes that, like, your elbow might hurt, and it's something up farther.
Oh, yeah. Understood. Absolutely get that. I just, in this case, man, I don't know. I feel like
he's way off. Especially, like, the whole idea is just gross. What? And how did he get it in the syringe?
You know how. And then also,
I bet, I'm just saying, like, it's so thick. Like,
you ever seen him milk a rattlesnake? Probably the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, when people do heroin, they cook it up and make it a liquid. Like,
maybe he did that. I don't know. I don't know how sophisticated this guy got, but part of me thinks, like, it's already in you.
Yeah.
You're drawing it out of your body just to put it in a different place. Just saying. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Eric, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's stay with stupid people here. What did you do that was an incredibly horrible idea? What did you do that you knew right away, like, this was a bad idea?
You know, you might be better off asking me how many good ideas I've had. I probably could think of a couple more off the top of my head here.
So normally you don't have too many good ideas. It's always a bad idea?
Well, you know, maybe it's just the bad ideas that I remember the most. But I'll tell you right off the top of my head, when I was still drinking back in the day, I had this great idea that chocolate milk and rum was going to be the new, like, hot drink, kind of like a White Russian. And, yeah, no, that one didn't work out too well.
What happens when you add rum and chocolate milk? I mean, does it separate or what?
It doesn't really quite separate as much as it tastes really horrible and kind of curdles a little bit.
Oh, that was what I was hoping wouldn't happen. The curdled part.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. What else have you, are you an experimental drink maker? What else have you tried to make?
You know, this is all back in the day. I quit drinking a couple of years ago, but, you know, usually it was just straight out the bottle was fine enough for me, but yeah, my 3/8 of days ended pretty quick after that.
What happened when you sat up in bed that morning and said, you know what, I'm done? What happened the night before?
It was the years before, really, that did it, honestly. But, yeah, I was just tired of being hungover at work all the time, really.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Good for you, man. Congratulations on that. Reason we asked, what did you do that was a horrible idea? A mountaineer dubbed the Bikini Hiker, after becoming known for climbing in barely their swimwear, has frozen to death. Gigi Wu, also known as Wu Qiyun, set out on a solo hike on January 11th in Taiwan's Yushan National Park before being found dead by a research and rescue party. When I say she has a bikini on, it is the least amount of bikini I have ever seen in bikini form.
And not to throw a spoiler alert out there, but based on the headline you read, you might hear that for no S. Sherlock.
36-year-old made a distress call to a friend using her satellite phone, revealing she had stumbled more than 20 meters down a ravine. She said she was trapped at the bottom. She's also in flip-flops.
Jesus.
And unable to move due to the injury sustained in the fall. The Airborne Service Corps said an attempt to reach her with a Black Hawk helicopter on three separate occasions didn't work. The flights were ultimately grounded due to poor weather at the time. They finally decided to send in two search and rescue parties comprising three members each. They found Wu's body at the location of her distress beacon about 28 hours later.
Wu!
Researchers say they are still waiting for stable weather in which to airlift Wu's body out of the ravine.
Look, I'm not happy that anyone's dead, but in this case, I don't care. Like, that's just so stupid from the top to the bottom. Like, well, I mean, you got what you're looking for.
At 2 degrees Celsius, Wu had a large following on social media where she often posted stunning photos of herself wearing bikinis on top of many of Taiwan's highest peak. In 2018, she revealed she spent 127 days, roughly a third of the year, hiking. She also shared an image showing her bruised legs following another fall, which she admitted she was lucky to survive back on Christmas Eve. But kept doing it in a bikini.
Come on, man. I mean, it's just, you got what you were looking for, and you died the way everyone probably expected you to die. You froze to death.
Hey, there's a reason humans don't live at those altitudes.
There's also a reason that most people don't hike in flip-flops and bikinis.
You can go up there, man, and if you want to just jump into some clothes real quick and take a quick picture, I'd recommend getting dressed as soon as possible so you don't get frostbite or something. But you don't, I mean, you could go up there and just have the bikini or maybe have it on underneath all your stuff. Just take off your coat, whip it off real quick, take one picture. You know,
I just assume she liked Wim Hof.
I don't know. Oh, that dude? Yeah. He's different.
More of the random question coming up, 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Still a combo review, some Men's Room rules and categories on your guess is as good as mine. That would be things that get more difficult as you get older and the way that you're more than likely to die. In the meantime, it is our random question, 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello, Anna.
Random,
welcome to the Men's Room.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hola.
Hello, Anna. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
We're doing great. Thank you. Let's see here. All right, Anna. Let's go with this one.
Are you sure of that one?
Yeah.
All right.
What did you learn or what do you know that is completely useless to you now? There's certain things that you have in your brain that are just taking up valuable brain space. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you have...
I sure have learned a lot of valuable things lately, but one thing I haven't learned yet that I know is going to be useless already is calculus. I'm not looking forward to it.
All right. What are you... do you are required to take that for college?
Yeah, and I'm actually following my aunt, who's a construction manager, and she's admitted to me fully. I don't need it. It's not it's required, but I will never use it, ever. She's been a construction manager for 30 years, has never used it, but it's still a requirement.
What is the degree that you're getting where it's required?
Construction management.
Okay.
All right.
It's weird how that works. I mean, you don't want to bag on the academics of school, but realistically, you look, beyond reading comprehension,
and the basic math. No, my brother's a finance major, and he just lives and breathes statistics. He's the only one I've actually met who understands and uses calculus.
It's because he cares, and that's where my brother's that way. My trigonometry, calculus, etc. But there's a reason he works with like rockets and stuff. That's what his interest is, and it was an elective for him when he got into high school. But a lot of the stuff,
it should be optional.
I just don't get, like, one thing, and we've always argued this, and look, it's nothing against Shakespeare. I'm sure he was a great playwright, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, very few kids get anything out of it. But if you want kids to read things, for me, the difference was when we read Lord of the Flies, a lot of kids didn't want to read it, but when they got a gist of what it was about, everybody wanted to read 1984, Animal Farm. That's one thing. Right. But that's it. But in the end, you just want kids to read and comprehend. So at least give them stuff they want to freaking read.
I mean, if it establishes some base knowledge in a way where you can think things differently through, maybe, I don't
know.
Does
Shakespeare help you do that? And I'm not trying to bag on him. It's just that when I'm done reading, we all had to read whatever crap he put out. But in the end, I'm like, you got nothing of particular value. Like you said, it did not open your eyes to different things. It did not explain anything other than what 90% of all the movies you watch are based on this, but that's about it.
Yep. Well, the reason we asked, what do you know that is completely useless to you now? A new survey asked 2,000 people, basically what they learned that was useful, what they wish they would have learned, what was worthless, and 2/3 of the people said basically most of the stuff that they learned in school was useless knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
There are some real world skills that people wish they had been taught instead, but the survey asked people to name these useless things, and if, like you said, if you're like your brother, your scientist, your math teacher, that might come in handy. Some people do argue the benefits of having that base knowledge, but you probably don't use it unless you're helping your kids with their homework.
That's true.
So any guesses on some of the things that people said that they learned in school that is completely useless to them now?
As far as math goes, I would say algebra up, right? So if it's not addition, subtraction, multiplication, or division, the things we use every day to figure out our money and anything else, useless unless that is of interest to you.
Yeah, if you're not an architect or a pool shark, does geometry help?
Well, there are two things.
No.
There are two things, and one of them is geometry-based in the math world. And number one, the Pythagorean theorem to figure out the dimensions of a triangle. A squared, B squared equals C squared, that one. That's number one. And, that's one of the ones I remember. I just don't know the practical application for it in any...
But that's the point where it's like, look, we retain a lot of, like, I remember what Macbeth was about, but other than watching Jeopardy, at no point in my life has this been important.
Ted, what is the number pi?
Oh, 2.14.
Damn it, no.
3.14.
That is it. And there's no reason that you need to know that.
Right.
Unless
now that you know.
I mean, yeah, whatever.
Except once a year because it's Pi Day.
Oh, God, that's right.
Like, listen, jackass. Pi Day is Thanksgiving.
That's the point.
All right.
P-I-E. Here's some more. The people said it's just basically it doesn't translate to them today. Memorizing the periodic table of elements in chemistry. Learning the different kinds of rocks. There are three different kinds of rocks. Very important. Do we know the three different types of rocks?
Igneous.
That is one.
Your turn.
Hard rock.
Hard rock is two.
And metal. Heavy metal, bitches.
Metamorphic and...
soft rock.
Sedimentary.
Sedimentary.
So there's your three types of rocks. And I took a lot of geology, and I still struggle with that one.
And now here's the thing. People that work in any field or they're doing soil samples, they'd argue that's important. But this is our point that, yes, for your interest... that is important. As general knowledge goes, this is irrelevant to people.
Mm-hmm. Learning the parts of an atom.
The neutron, an electron, and a proton.
There you go.
Proton.
You
proton.
Got it wrong.
Proton.
But
proton.
You know,
proton.
Proton.
Proton is the broke-ass.
I'm going to go out tonight and get some proton.
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 She had a great photon on her.
Ooh, that's photons.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Learning what the mitochondria is?
Yeah, mitochondria.
The powerhouse of a cell. Do you know what that is?
I do know what it is.
Okay.
But again,
tell us.
I only know it because I am interested about it, but nobody cares.
All right.
You know,
what is
the thing. Essentially, the mitochondria, the chemicals in there, it kind of even tells your DNA what to do.
All
almost
right.
Essentially, right?
Okay.
So
all right.
It kind of plays into that.
These are things that people learned in school that they believe to be worthless now, that they don't use in their practical everyday life. Naming all the presidents in order. Ted, you know more presidents than anybody I think I know.
I know a lot of presidents, but I couldn't name them in order.
Yeah, you can't name them in order.
Yeah, but I think you'd have a pretty...
Mike has got his hand up. He says he can name the presidents in order.
Let's go.
No, you can't.
Come on, let's do it.
Hold on for a minute. You can really do this.
For the most part, yes. There's a small spot in there where I do get a little bit shaken up and screwed up, but for the most part, yeah, I can.
Okay. Go ahead.
You have Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln, Johnson, Grant, Hayes, Garfield, Chester, Allen, Arthur, and on that one. This is where I get screwed up. Somebody, McKinley.
Where'd you leave off at?
At Arthur. Chester, Allen, Arthur.
All right.
Then there's...
bad football team.
Browns.
Cleveland.
Oh, Grover Cleveland.
Groveland.
Cleveland Steamer. Cleveland. Johnson. Cleveland. McKinley. Roosevelt. Taft? Is that right?
Taft comes after Teddy.
Taft comes after Teddy. Okay. Wilson. Harding. Coolidge. Hoover. Who's after Hoover? Truman? No, Eisenhower.
You skipped FDR.
Doggone it, FDR. I knew I was missing that. Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy. Then there was Lyndon Johnson, Nixon.
Stumbler.
Yeah, right.
His wife was drunk, but he stumbled.
He's only there for a couple of years.
Doggone it. Hang on one second. I have this. These are like the most recent presidents, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a Chevy guy. I'm a
Ford. Of course, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump.
Oh, pretty damn good, man.
That's pretty good, dude.
That's awesome.
And you know why we believe you?
Because we don't know.
Because we don't know. Yeah, you could have said anything. If he starts with Washington, ends with Trump, we'll just chalk it up as success.
These are things that people learn in school that they don't really use. Learning about osmosis, the process by which molecules of a solvent pass through the membrane. Learning how to make paper snowflakes in elementary school. People think that's worthless. What do you know?
Dude.
Wow, like, you come do on. That when you're a little child just to keep you busy.
At that point, listen, yes, it ranks up there with macaroni art and glitter. We get that.
And learning about photosynthesis. This isn't plants. They also ask people what they actually wish they learned and for the real world aspect of things.
As much as that list talks about school, I have to say for somebody like me, like in the grand scheme of things, the knowledge I have of sports and sports teams does not help me.
No.
Like at no point.
But it is your, it's not a job.
No, I know, but I'm just saying like.
But it is your interest.
Why do I care? I fill my brain with a ton of stuff.
Why do I care? But we all do. I mean, look, all the trivial stuff that we are interested in, right? Like I'm a big space nerd, so I watch all the crap about space. Doesn't do a goddamn thing for me.
What is am, is, are, was, were, be, bing, been, has, bad, had, do, does, did, all that crap? What the what
it's
is
something
that?
To do with the English language.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I remembered all those at one point in time. Am, is, are, was, were, be, bing, been, has,
can we
been,
just read?
Had, do,
if you can
did.
Read, it's yeah, good yeah. enough. I don't know. Some people, by the way, they're saying, what do they say? This guy says, the Pythagorean theorem, it's excellent for shooting applications as well. Okay.
All right.
I'm an electrician. I use math all the time. Look, we don't dispute math. We say when you get to specialized math, if your interest is not that, at no point in your everyday life is that going to be important. I feel like the electives they should offer, do you want calculus? And I'll argue this to the day I die, critical thinking. When you look at this country right now, right, and it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, the things that people debate are so off base and so remarkably stupid. And I think with critical thinking, in a generation, you probably change politics. Because it's
so basically, it's philosophy.
It's not only there's a way that you absorb information and dissect it, and it's real easy to figure out if what someone is saying makes sense or if they're completely full of crap, if they're simply ignorant or if they're lying, right? And critical thinking helps a lot. I just think we would all make better decisions if just as a fact, as a part of the, but this way, if you put something in writing, you trust that everyone can read it, because that's a basic thing we all learn to read in school. I think if critical thinking were as basic as writing in the four first parts of math, there's just a different way you'd have to present information. Mm-hmm. Right now, you could sell goddamn sand to a freaking seal on the beach.
I also ask people what they wish they would have learned. Here's some of them. How to find a job, car repair, maintenance of any kind, a relationship and conversational skills, how to fix stuff around the house, time management, how to negotiate, understanding credit cards, student loans, how to manage your emotional well-being and mental health, how to do your taxes, and the number one thing, pretty well consistent, money management and budgeting. So when you go money management and budgeting, taxes, credit card, student loans, negotiation, how to find a job. A lot of those are monetarily based.
That's math. You want to learn how to budget, they taught you that with addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. I mean, in the end, like, you have $10, you want to buy something that costs $20. Can you do it? Well, with credit, you can. Now, understand, you're at least, if you put half of your cash or put your cash on it, maybe you owe 10 bucks, but either way, you're going to pay back 15. They put interest in. That stuff is covered with math class. See, that's when math becomes applicable. That you're missing the point of why they teach you things when you don't get that, hey, all that math stuff they taught you the first 6 years you're in school, that's going to apply to all of your financial decisions, because that addition and subtraction, it doesn't change. At least be smart enough to understand that you want to apply math to your finances. No, that's why your finances show up in numbers.
As far as math goes, and I wasn't the greatest at math, but I could figure out accounting. So my accounting classes, which were completely different from math for the most part, in general, they're the same principle. But
it's a different thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Different
system. I thought that was actually a pretty valuable class.
Are saying this kind of stuff because you got to go back a few years, and a lot of people got screwed over with those bad mortgages and stuff.
Sure.
And I think me and my brother have this, we've been having this argument for years. I was always on the side of like, hey, you know, you can't afford that $300,000 house, $400,000 with what you make. But he brings up a good point, is that for years you're told to trust these financial institutions.
That's why they're there.
So they go, hey, you can afford
this. This is the payment plan we came up with.
I would have said, it doesn't seem right. But I think for a lot of people, they fell into that trap. So I don't know what class would teach you to, like, question stuff.
Well, because part of the reason would just be this. If a bank says, banks don't want to not get paid back. No one gives you money and then doesn't want to get it back. So I think if you go in when they're doing all these subprime mortgages, you know, your thought is, I don't really get the math. And let's face it, half the time you sit there to this gram, none of us get, like when you do your taxes and they go through all these different things, blah, 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 I don't really understand it, but if it seems reasonable, I'm down, right? So if a bank says, yes, we will loan you money, here's the payments, I wouldn't assume they're doing it in bad faith, because me not paying them back is not good for their business. Haven't we all said, look, it's the drunk uncle that wants to borrow $200. I would think the bank, like, hey, man, I'm not going to loan you $200 because there's no goddamn chance I get this back. I'm giving you money. Mm-hmm. I'm not loaning you money.
Do you have that relative that you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
You, man, not one. There is one side of the family. You got a mother. You got a father. There's one side of the family. I wouldn't loan. I hate to say that, but as a generalization, I would not loan anyone in that family a dollar. I would give you a dollar if you said, hey, you got a dollar, I'm going to the vending machine. But, like, if you had to borrow money for something, no.
Never see it again.
You'll never see it again.
Random.
But I love them. They're all great. Wonderful. Random. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
Oh, Gary, welcome to the program. Let's see here. What do we have here for you on your random question? All right, Gary, have you ever dated a crazy person?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
What tipped you off?
Pardon?
They agreed to date him.
Yeah. Being younger and dumber, you know, she told me up front, says, you know, I have to see a therapist a lot. You know, this is like, you know, I'm just in my young 20s. I have to see a therapist a lot because I have problems and I'm not happy. And I said, you know, she was a hot looking gal, but at the same time, I was like, oh no, you know, it'll be cool between us, this and that. Oh my God, was I so wrong?
Well, you can't tell someone, hey man, I might be crazy, but I will not be crazy with you.
Right. Exactly.
What was the hardest thing to deal with out of the situation?
Her going off on me on stupid things like, I was going to go to a Crew concert. She wasn't in the band, like Motley Crue. I said, okay, fine, I'm going to go with a friend and, you know, how about I bring you back concert? She lost it, you know, started throwing things at me. She said, you're just going to go with another woman there and you're going to go get laid. And I guess, no.
I'm not there with another woman. It's Vince Neil. Jesus Christ. How many times do I have to tell you?
He's the sexiest man in rock and roll.
Yeah, you know, but, and it, you know, went on beyond that, like, okay, let me get a little intimate here. We, you know, done the deed once and you know, thought it went well and you know, and that thing. Next thing you know, she's freaking out. Why'd you do that to me? You're such a horrible person. You just took advantage of me. I'm like, whoa. And she runs up and just runs down the road and I'm like, you know, I she put her clothes back on and, you know, that and
she's not
so
that
I'm
crazy.
Mine back on. I chase her down the road. It's like, hey, it's
you know. Okay. So, well, I'm glad you're not doing that anymore, Gary. That sounds a little bit intense. Yeah.
Don't run down the street screaming after sex. It reflects poorly on everyone involved.
The reason we ask you ever dated a crazy person, there's a guy in southern Russia who's only been identified by his first name, which happens to be Shakur. Anyway, his girlfriend was in court last week because
California.
She stabbed Shakur 13 times during an argument last year. He was in the hospital for not one, not two, but 3 weeks trying to patch up from his injuries. She was facing up to 6 years in prison. 6 years in prison for stabbing him 13 times. But before the judge could sentence her, Shakur stood up, begged the judge to show her mercy, and proposed to her in the courthouse. The judge decided to postpone the sentencing.
Just. There's someone for everyone.
More of the random question coming up, 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Silicon, your guess is as good as my categories will be. Things get harder with age and the most likely way for you to die. In the meantime, it is our random question, 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Joe,
random,
welcome
random,
to the men's room.
Random. Hola.
Hola.
Joe, welcome to the program. How you doing, man?
Random. Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. You married, got a girlfriend, anything like that? Boyfriend, husband?
Yeah, got a girlfriend right now.
Does she listen to the show?
What's that?
Does she listen to the show?
No.
Is she listening now?
No, she's not listening right now. She listens sometimes.
Okay,
but
cool. All right, I'm going to give you this one then.
I hope you understand the veiled warning that Miles is giving you there, man. If, you
know. Here you go, Joe. Have you ever been approached by a hooker? Have you ever been approached by a hooker?
Nope, never been approached by a hooker.
Have you ever been to Vegas?
I have been to Vegas once.
And you weren't approached by a hooker, really?
No, I got approached by some sketchy people a couple times, but never a hooker.
Well, they tried to.
I was about to get robbed.
Okay, all right. So, well, that's much different than being approached by a hooker.
Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. Well, they're very friendly. And so you get the one buddy who's like, dude, I don't know what it is in Vegas, but I swear to God, like, I am just swinging out of my league. I'm like, oh, that really hot chick in the miniskirt who just talked to you? Yeah, man.
Do you know an area around you where there are some people working like that?
I do know if you go, you know, where my buddy lives on Spanaway, you can go down there. And the whole joke.
Oh, easy. Can't say that one, but yes.
Once again, bedroom colors, here are the 7 words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
Okay. Actually, I feel bad we had to dump that. Mm. So many people would have wanted to take down that address.
Right, exactly.
Where did he say?
There's a reason we asked there. Have you ever been approached by a hooker? There's a 79-year-old guy named William Batts, and he lives in a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio, called South Ouslad. Last week, he got himself 2 hookers through a friend.
All right.
79 years old. Well, after they wrapped things up with him, he called 911 to report a robbery. Why? He said the hookers, quote, failed to meet my expectations, but they still took $500 from his wallet anyway. By the time the cops got there, the ladies were gone. William gave them the best description he could. According to the report, he said they were black, about 40 years old. One was 5'7". One was named Keisha, and she is, quote, the short, fat one. Cops never found the ladies. They found them not charging William for solicitation. I guess they felt he'd been through enough.
Oh, no.
Who knows?
I mean, just...
Oh, I mean, look, that's part of the game.
Right.
Like, if she rolls you, like, there's not much you could do.
I mean, that's kind of the idea behind it, right?
Right.
Said, like,
yeah.
Hey, we all understand what's at stake here. Man, one thing.
I mean, that's the problem with these transactions. Is everybody in it, it's like buying drugs. Well, everybody in it's on the illegal side, so you can't call and say, these are bad drugs.
I want to say, but he got out of it just because of his age.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
Right.
We one night we took the last flight that you could take to Vegas, which is probably like a 9:30 flight, 9 o'clock, somewhere in there. So we didn't get into Vegas until about 1, 12:30 by the time we got checked in and everything.
sit down at the bar, and there's a dude there who's there for the convention. He's, you know what I mean? He just walks in, man. He's got two hookers with him. You remember that
yeah,
dude?
Instantly, yeah.
I mean, like, he was just got there, man. And the next thing you know, like, he's walking around. He's like, oh, is that what they are? Oh, well,
yes.
I think I need some company.
You're ugly.
All right.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.